Welcome to Be Truly Heard with me, coach and voice expert Anne Leatherland. If you're a woman in business looking to speak with authority, warmth and authenticity, this is the podcast for you. We'll explore valuable personal growth strategies alongside vocal skills, so you can overcome confidence barriers and communicate what's inside. Your voice matters. It's time to be truly heard. Hello and welcome to Be Truly Heard with me, Anne Leatherland. And today I'm absolutely delighted to welcome back Mary Gregory. Hi, Mary.
Hello. Hello, Anne. Lovely to see you again.
And you. Now, Mary is a leadership coach, consultant, author and speaker with over 25 years of experience in helping leaders navigate through challenging changes. She helps them meet ambitious targets and build trustworthy relationships. She's also a thought leader on the Forbes Coaches Council, where she shares her insights on leadership, empathy, connection, and the future of work. Mary's work involves coaching senior leaders, designing and facilitating leadership programs, and supporting the development of inclusive working cultures while empowering women leaders. With this in mind, she has a LinkedIn group, the She Leads Collective, for purpose-driven leaders committed to creating balanced workplaces where everyone has the chance to thrive. And that's right up my street, Mary, so I'm delighted to have you back again.
Thank you so much. I'm very pleased it's right up your street.
It certainly is. And I've noticed in recent weeks that you've been speaking a lot about confidence.
Yes.
And your ideas have really resonated with me because obviously I work in that area as well.
Yes.
With confidence and voices in particular. I think it would be great to start with a bit of a conversation about what confidence actually is, because we all speak about it, don't we?
Yes.
And we don't necessarily know what it is.
Yes.
So what do you think about that idea?
That's a great place to start. And I mean, the reason I'm so interested in it is, to me, it's one of the foundations of being an effective leader, is to have that confidence. And however we might name it and call it, for me, it's also something that ebbs and flows. So even though, you know, I might have coached leaders who are right at the top of their organization, they will still have moments where their confidence ebbs, because we're all human beings. And that's just how we are as human beings. When we are stretched and out of our comfort zone, it can be the time that your confidence starts to ebb. So it's, I think naming it is interesting, because there are very different elements to what confidence is, and I'm all for trying to bust some of the myths that there are around it. So I think from my perspective, one element of confidence is a feeling, but it isn't just a feeling, because there are things we can do to make us feel more confident. So that also suggests then there's something about how we act and behave and how people perceive us, and how we might start to perceive ourselves as well. And then the other thing I'll say is there is a connection between confidence and self-esteem. I think they are different things, because I think confidence is much more about how we show up, being willing to take a risk, being willing to act despite our fears. But self-esteem also is how we're willing to take care of ourselves and love ourselves and look after ourselves. And there's a great connection between, you know, those times when you haven't looked after yourself so well. Think about, you know, the times you might have had a sleepless night, for example, the difference to how that causes us to feel about ourselves and act and behave on that day when we're feeling very weary, compared to a time when we've had a really good night's sleep. That kind of gives a good example of the connection between self-esteem and confidence, I think.
Yes, and that's really interesting. And we're all different.
Yes.
And our life rhythms are all different. I was just thinking there about our energy ups and downs in
yes.
the day. So the confidence is a movable thing. You know, if we've had a good night's sleep, as you said, and we have that high energy in the morning, most of us have a bit of an afternoon dip and then come up again in the early evening. So how we organise our day around that might be quite important. I've sort of gone off on the beaten path there, but it was just you mentioning the cycles and the
Well,
energy.
no, and I think energy is very much connected as well because, you know, the sleep obviously contributes to your energy. But as we go through the day, we are using energy up. And confidence and resilience are very much connected as well, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Because if we start to lose our energy, we start to doubt ourselves and not feel so great about ourselves. You get to that exhaustion point. You don't want to go into stress mode or exhaustion. That's why part of looking after yourself is making sure you keep your energy topped up, you take regular breaks, and that will help us with our sense of okayness and being confident.
I think that's so important. And, you know, I'm a bit of a hyper-focused person, so I'll get into a project and I'll want to finish it. And in the past, I would have worked until midnight to finish it. But I don't do that anymore. I take breaks because I know that if I do the former, then the end of the day, the next day, I'll be fit for nothing. So it's really important that we realize that. And also the idea of perception, how other people perceive our confidence, that, you know, we can feel not very confident at all, and yet because we know what to do, the people on the outside can think we were very confident, or vice versa. So it depends what comes across and how our energy interacts with theirs, really. That's another thought I had just coming from what you said.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, I can think of a, you've made me think of a leader who I worked with who was a CEO actually. And, you know, often we put status, oh, if they're senior, if they've got high status, they must be really confident. And of course, as we mentioned before, confidence ebbs and flows. And this is during lockdown at the beginning of COVID. She was leading a big organization and they had to shut the whole, it was manufacturing, they had to shut all the factories down. She had to make a presentation to the whole organization and create a future for them. Well, I can tell you her confidence at that moment was really, really disappearing because it was not anything she'd ever had to do before. And also, she felt really vulnerable in front of the whole organization if she didn't get it right, all that, you know, it wakes up your critical voice, your imposter, you name it, it's all your ego as well. So it wakes everything up. So, you know, through coaching, I really helped her, you know, get prepared, think about what she might say, think about the choice of words she might use, but also consider how she showed up and her use of body language and the way she connected with people and the way she was authentic and spoke about her own concerns, which were perfectly valid, without putting frighteners up people as well. So it's like having that balance between, you know, I'm a leader. We are living in worrying times with what's going on. I can't say exactly what the future will be, but this is what I'm hoping for, and this is what I'm pointing towards as a means of being able to engage everybody and take them forward with her in a positive way in very difficult circumstances. So we all have moments where we'll lose that sense of confidence, and it's about making sure you give yourself the time and pace yourself to be able to keep creating it for
I
yourself.
agree. I agree. And it's a case of dealing with uncertainty, isn't it? Whenever we have to deal with uncertainty in our lives, we feel vulnerable. And yet, in other ways, if we don't have any uncertainty in our lives, it's really boring. So that's just another little rabbit hole
Well,
we can go off down, but
but
it's.
I guess the uncertainty is that, you know, whenever we are out of our comfort zone, then our confidence is threatened. Because you think about, I use the analogy of when we learn to drive a car, that, you know, when you first had your driving lessons, that fear of dread when the instructor said, I want you
Oh
to turn right at the next junction, you're like, oh my God, how am I going to navigate putting the indicator on, going down a gear, looking in the mirror, all of that feels terrifying. Our confidence isn't at an all-time high at that point, but the more we keep practicing it, the more we start to get a sense of, actually, I'm okay, I can do this.
And that's a very good point because it becomes part of what we can do, what I call falling off a log area. The thing that's ingrained in us, and we just go on to autopilot in a sense. We might feel the nerves, and I deal a lot with this with people speaking, and obviously from the physical point of view of speaking, as well as the self-belief thing. It's that feeling, oh, what if I open my mouth? What if the sound is horrible? I don't like my voice. What if everybody thinks I'm weak because of my voice, etc., etc.?
Yes.
And there are ways to overcome that, I'm sure, just as you would do
Yes.
in your work that you mentioned with your particular client there. And it's just really important to know that you don't have to feel perfectly confident going in. You just need to know how to reframe things
Yes.
so that you can do the best you can until you
Yes.
get into your flow. That seems to be what happens very often.
Yes, sometimes it is literally just taking the first step, you know, and kind of taking the fear with you, I think, is a really useful way of looking at it, because confident people experience, well, think about yourself when you're confident. You still experience fears, but it's will it being willing to give it a go, take that first step, and then see
Absolutely.
what happens.
It's like when you first start giving talks or you first start leading workshops or whatever it happens to be. I used to go over and over and over the material to convince myself that I knew what I was doing. And I don't need to do that anymore. I just go trust yourself and trust your
Yes.
own inner wisdom, trust
Yes.
your knowledge, because
Yes.
you've got everything you need inside you
Yes.
to deal with this problem
Yes.
of, I won't say problem, to deal with whatever is thrown at you. I should.
Yes.
Way really.
Yes. Yes.
But we can move from there and then what happens though when we get the blustery person who's just all outwards push and seemingly outwards confidence? How tell me a bit about that, because I was fascinated by your link with this and ego
Yes.
pieces you wrote in the last week or so.
Well, the blustery person would tend to suggest to me they're someone who has an overinflated ego, you know, but although I'm thinking, who do I know that authentically might be more blustery? If anyone else has an idea, do tell me. I can think of people that I think are inauthentic who tend to be blustery. But for me, coming from ego is different to coming from real authentic confidence.
Yes.
So, you know, and I am not perfect by any means, you know, that I can come from ego at times. You know, ask my partner, you know, we're having an argument about whose turn it is to cook supper, and I'm very right, it's his.
Oh, we
Whenever
all
we're in
do
that,
it, don't we? We
yeah,
all do it.
whenever we're in that place of being, I am right and you are wrong, that is our ego. And isn't necessarily us being confident. If confidence is demonstrated more by the ability to actually listen and understand the other person's point of view, so you can find a way forward together, this making right and making wrong would suggest you're going into kind of that opposition place, which is definitely a more about ego when
I
it
think
comes to
so.
leadership. Because to me, leadership is about engaging with others and taking them with you. It's not about making them wrong and putting them back in their box, as it
No.
were. So that's a definite difference between ego and authentic confidence.
And you discuss some really interesting facets of this in your book,
I
Ego,
do.
as well. And
Yes.
I've read that, and we talked about it last time you were on, but it's still there.
Yes.
If you haven't read it, I can thoroughly recommend Mary's book, Ego.
Yes.
And
Yes.
I love the idea that although it can affect us in this way, where we're out there, and it seems to me that we're pushing forward because we're covering our own fears. If we're right, then we must be good. We must be doing all right. I think it maybe comes out of that. I don't.
Maybe in trying to convince ourselves that
Yeah.
I'm going to convince myself I'm okay. And some people might use that as a strategy. But the thing about when we're coming from ego is it is so much more exhausting than coming from when we're being authentic. It takes more energy
Yes.
to keep pushing ourselves and driving ourselves rather than actually, I'm just going to talk to you from my authentic self
I think
here.
that's much better because we create better energy between us and the other people
Yes.
that we're interacting with. That
Yes.
it's very negative to come out with, I know I'm right. I'm just laughing because I had a joke with somebody the other week and it was all about the use of apostrophes. And this person was winding me up saying, oh, well, it needs one here. And I'm going, no, it doesn't. I am because I'm right. And that's probably why it struck a chord with me, because
Yes.
I'm right thing. But
Yeah.
also the fact, just coming back to your book, that we need some degree of ego to actually put ourselves forward at all or to
Yes.
do what we need to do. Have I got
Yes.
the right end of that one? I think I
Well,
did.
I think so. I can think of a client who does incredible, he's right at the top of his organization, does some incredible work, is one of a board of very senior directors for this particular business, but feels very different on that board, and has had to stuck to his guns at times because they have, and when I say different style, different behavioral style. And so he's had to learn to stick to his guns at time, which has taken a bit of ego and a bit of, self-protection in amongst that space. But also he's realized that he's also had to really engage with the other people that are very different from him so that he understands how they and him can interact and build a constructive relationship that moves them all forward.
Levels of leadership as well, aren't there? Some of these leadership roles, as you mentioned when we last spoke, can
Yes.
people having to, in a way, have care of 500 others.
Well, and sometimes thousands. You think about the CEO of Tesco's, for example.
That one,
That's a
yeah.
company of thousands, isn't it? So, yeah, and how do you manage yourself and be confident as you're leading such a great organization? And I suppose my take on it is that we're all leaders to ourselves, and that's where leadership begins, is on a very personal level. How do you lead yourself? How do you take care of yourself? How do you manage your boundaries, and the way you relate to others? All of those are really relevant on a personal level. But then as you get more and more senior and your team gets bigger, it's how do you navigate, having those relationships, with other people? And of course, the more senior you get, the more visible you are. So how you show up has more of an impact. And that's why it's so useful for leaders to keep developing themselves and keep working on their development so they can ensure they have a positive impact.
Absolutely. Let's think next then about the different biases that get in the way for people, no
Yes.
matter how many others they're leading or what strategies they put into place. I know
Yes.
certainly from the work that I do that women face particular biases
Yeah.
when speaking in
Yeah.
situations.
Yes.
It's assumed that we won't know as much as the man in the room. Now, this is changing, and I don't want to paint everyone with the same brush here by saying, all you men, you think you know better than we do. It's not about that. It's about looking at how we can all be heard and evaluated, I suppose, in the same way. Although
Yeah.
it's more complex than that because the way women speak is different to the way men speak. But what are your thoughts on that? This
Well, the way women
gap.
speak and the way women lead is different to how men tend to speak and lead. And there is a lot about how we've been brought up and societal expectations and messages. You look at all the messages that come towards women. I don't know about you, but I've seen that speech by Reese Witherspoon where she talks about being fed up with the fact that women's roles are like, what do we do now? And actually, women. You think about everyday life, women are having to sort out problems and things all the time. So it's like that, and that's that, and there is a shift in Hollywood, thankfully, where there are many more empowering roles of role models of women, which thanks to people like Reese Witherspoon are starting to come to the surface. But absolutely, we are conditioned for a very from a very early age to be a certain way because we are female or male. And I think there are challenge the challenges for men are different, and I worry about the challenges for men in terms of staying strong and not being able to talk about their vulnerability as being as acceptable as it is for women. I think that's a definite area for awareness and development there. But for women, there are some very clear things that go on in the workplace. And I hear women talk about in my workshops as very common phenomena. The classic one is, having got up the confidence to speak up in a meeting, then to find you being talked over, or to share an idea and nobody take the idea up. Only for 15 minutes later, a man steps up and shares the same idea, and everyone pats him on the back and says, that's a fantastic idea. And having to hold on to yourself and keep yourself present and putting yourself forward in those sorts of circumstances, is it any wonder that women lack confidence at times because it's constantly being eroded by those
It
sorts
is.
of circumstances. I had one organization that I worked with, and this sounds bizarre in this day and age, but I don't think it's the only organization that's like this, where in meetings, the job of taking minutes was always given to a woman. And actually, part of what we did in our programs was role plays about how could you say no to this and make sure that someone else took the minutes. And that was actually a really empowering role play for many women who were being sidelined to not being able to contribute because they were too busy taking the minutes.
Yes. I mean,
So,
that's a really interesting one. I remember taking the minutes once in a meeting, and then we had to read them out at the end. And it was different groups within the same meeting, and each one had a minute taker, and I was it for my group. And the men in the group said, "That's not what I remember it being about." I thought, "Oh, how interesting."
So not only did
Because I
you,
didn't just write down what you said, I gave an overview of what everybody said,
and
including
it's,
me.
you'd think in this day and age you could just record it, wouldn't you, with all the apps and things we've
Yes, you
got. Why
would
do you need
really.
minute takers nowadays?
I
But
mean, you could just take a recording, and there are note takers that will then summarize the whole thing for you, aren't there? Probably better than we could do, and more accurately than we could do with our own
probably.
biases. I mean, we all have biases, but it's this feeling that as a woman, we have to work harder to be heard. And I think that can be a real sticking point. But I also acknowledge that idea about men. I mean, there are many men who are not comfortable with being out there and over-energized and pushing, and they feel the need to be like that in order to be accepted. It's the same sort of pressure. So I think maybe it would be good for us all to learn to listen more closely and to learn how other people's voices sound and what's behind them. We'd be much more likely to get the message there. And I remember you speaking in a video last week, actually, about one of the things we can do to stop this overt forwardness of confidence, false confidence, would to get better at our listening skills.
I think listening is one of the most powerful leadership skills you could possess, and yet it is so, we un as human beings we underuse it so much. And I say human beings because we all want to get our opinion across. This is part of the ego piece. We all want to be heard. We all want to get our opinion across. We all want to be right. We all believe our own beliefs are the right beliefs. And we have to really step back and start to learn to listen, because there's that great Stephen Covey, I think it's the second habit, seek first to understand and then to be understood, which I think is so powerful.
It's very powerful. We don't know what other people's lives are like. We don't know where they're coming from. They may have different values and beliefs because of those values than we do. And if we don't understand those, then of course we're going to come up against them. And it just makes for nonsensical conflict, really. Whereas if we can reach out and understand each other, we don't have to agree with those values, just to understand where that person is coming from and why. And I think that would make a huge difference. But
Very
I mean,
important.
it is. You and I could speak all day, you know
We
this
could.
now.
I know. I think we found this last time, actually. And we do tend to go around the houses a bit with it all, but it's all really
It's
relevant
all
stuff.
interlinked, isn't it? It's all interlinked. We have confidence. We have the idea of biases. We have the pressure on people who are leading to do so with confidence. And that then is a challenge for them to get in touch with, isn't it? So, what does that authentic confidence look like for me, for you, for whoever, you know?
Do you know what it is for me? And I think, I was talking about this earlier on today, actually, with someone, that when we come, ego is always fear driven. And I'm a great, that we have various colors of emotion, but I think the two main emotions that impact us are fear and love. Anger comes under fear. If we're feeling fearful, we get angry. If we lose love, we might feel sad, all those sorts of things. But the two main emotions are fear and love. And ego is absolutely fear driven. So when we are feeling that social anxiety of looking foolish or being worried about what might happen, that is inclined to hook our ego in. So one of the things I do is just say to myself, am I coming from fear or love here? And if I'm coming from love, then I think that I'm far more inclined to be coming from my authentic self. So I use that as a guide,
I think
to
that's really
help.
powerful, Mary. I
Yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
It's a really good way to keep in touch with where we are on the inside
Yes.
and to ground us and, get rid of those nasty little voices in the head that
Yeah.
tell us otherwise,
Yeah.
because we know who we are in ourselves,
Yes.
how we want to show up and how
Yes.
we want to meet other people, at what point.
Yes.
But anyway, I believe you have a workshop coming up very soon, don't you, in
I
March?
do, which is why I am so interested in confidence at the moment. Or it's one part of what my whole belief system is around leadership is confidence is a fundamental foundation to being effective as a leader. And there are lots of myths that are put around about what it is. So my workshop is called Exploding the Confidence Myth. And part of it is it well, part of it was inspired by some of the women I work with, my clients, who this whole thing about, oh, as a woman, I'm not confident, or women are less confident than men, which are all, I think, is all part of the myth around it. And then being quite confident women, actually, I'm thinking, but you're not striking me as someone who's unconfident. But I think it's linked to the biases, and that women have to deal with an awful lot more bias, not just from other people that they might be mixing with, but also the way our own thoughts have been conditioned. That, oh, I can't take that risk, or who would want to listen to what I have to say? All those sorts of ways we've been conditioned as we've grown up. So this workshop is really about getting in touch with your authentic confidence, exploding some of the myths that you might have around what confidence really is, and giving you some strategies, or your own roadmap as it were, for navigating your way through as a leader and stepping up as a leader. And it's on the 20th of March in central London at the Connaught Rooms. And because, obviously I'm on your podcast today, and I think by the time it goes out, we might have missed the early bird offer.
Yes,
So
sadly.
I'm really happy for anyone who's listening who would be interested in joining us on the 20th of March to maintain the early bird offer. Just contact me directly at mary@marygregory.com. So email me, and I will just say that you've heard me on Vocal Intuition, and I will be more than happy to honour the early bird rate for that workshop.
That's fantastic, Mary. We'll put the relevant links in the program notes for you anyway. And
Thank you.
do take advantage of this one, folks. I can't make it that day, unfortunately. I was hoping to go myself and
Yeah.
learn from Mary. But thank you so much for being on the podcast, Mary. It's been an absolute pleasure.
My
And
absolute pleasure being here.
no doubt we'll do another one at some time in the future, because I know there's so much
There
of
is.
value to talk about around this area.
Yes. Lovely. Thank you so much, Anne.
You're very welcome. That's about it for this week. Thank you for joining us. Catch me again in a couple of weeks when I'll be asking the question, why aren't women's voices truly heard? Is it perception? Is it the way they speak? Or is there something else going on? Don't miss it and see you then. Bye for now. Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of Be Truly Heard. Please look out for future episodes and do subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow me on LinkedIn, Anne Leatherland, or learn more at anneleatherland.co.uk. If you have questions and comments about speaking with confidence, I'd love to hear from you and will respond in future episodes. Be Truly Heard is brought to you by Vocal Intuition. I'm your host, Anne Leatherland, and bye for now.